Okay, good evening, everybody. And we resume. So last week we started on the laws of Meiser, of tithing. So says the Chofetz Chaim, V'ata navo leva'er es oifin ha'chaluka. Now we're going to explain how we go ahead and divide our Meiser money. What's the priorities? What's the order of priorities? Hine yadua demas Meiser ikarahu letztaka lechalik neim. So again, the Chofetz Chaim reiterates that the main purpose of Meiser, the first 10%, if you do that, is to give to the poor. Ukrohu ha'aniyim. Now, if you have poor people, your family is first. Your immediate family, if you have siblings, parents. Well, parents get a little trickle. You have, you know, your relatives are referring others. If it didn't kedima, and this hierarchy, this order of priorities is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. V'afilu lebanav gedolim, even older children. Let's say a parent is was wealthy. Actually, just someone just told me today about this person is about 70. So I thought they're very comfortable. And one of the relatives said, no, they have no money. They have like no money. But their in-laws are super wealthy. So I'm like, if their in-laws are super wealthy, like, why don't they help other kids? I mean, if they're 25, you know, one thing. This guy's 70 years old. Like, what are you waiting for? Nope, I can't. They didn't ask me. If your older children are needy, they can't make it. Even the she'enu chalatapalahem, you know, your younger children, you cannot take off ma'aser because that's your obligation. If they're older children, they're married, this shouldn't be self-sufficient. You give them charity to live, that's certainly your ma'aser. The kevan she'enu lahem mishal atzmam have tzedakah gemurah, right? If they can't live by themselves, that's pure tzedakah. I have a daughter in Kollel, they're in Kollel, right? And then she's getting her master's degree. As we speak, they will not make it without me, or, you know, for like, the in-laws, so then that's certainly Meiser. I'm very happy that that's the case. And even you can say, oh, I have a separate trust, a separate fund, I don't think when Meiser money, you're entitled to do that. Actually, the Chassam Sofer says, let's say you do have that situation, you should not give more than 50% of your Meiser to your own older children or family, even if you're supporting them. The other 50% should be given to people who are not related to you. If a person's parents are poor, you can use your Meiser money for them too. Let's say they cannot support themselves. However, if you have the funds, let's say your last name is Rothschild, the Reichman, whatever, and if you can support them without your Meister money, then you should do that. It means many people, it would be a big challenge to support their parents. The people with limited Meister, limited amounts of stock that we give. Most of us, are challenged in our own bills and then support our parents. So then you can use Meiser money, and certainly it's a mitzvah to do that. However, if you're wealthier, if you're upper middle class, you have a lot of Meiser money, you have need some money, then you should not use that money, your Meiser money, to support your parents, but you should support them from your own funds. Because Chazal say, Tavo Me'ira, cursed is a person, a curse comes to a person who supports their parents through tzedakah money. That means if you could do it without that. But if the choice is you cannot pay your bills because you're supporting your parents, then definitely use Meiser money. Now, let's say your relatives, you come from a comfortable family, Baruch Hashem, your family is good, they're in good standing. And again, we're not talking about supporting Chas Hashem relatives that are drug addicts, relatives that are gamblers, that gets into a whole different ball game. As I mentioned last week, we're just learning the sugyas. One should ask questions about Meiser. I'm not sure if I said this last week, but Reb Moshe Feinstein was flabbergasted that people ask him all kinds of questions and they didn't ask him the question about giving charity and tithing. That question everyone thinks they're an expert on. They know best. It's important to ask questions in this area. Obviously, the giver has to want to give to the places, but are these appropriate? Is this the right cause? It's very important to ask, both in halacha and in just to get a Torah perspective. Therefore, if your relatives are fine, or they're not giving, then in that case, and you're going to give to other people, it's proper you should give it to Torah, people learning Torah, to strengthen Hashem, because not only are you helping the poor, you're allowing them to learn Torah. Inherently, many people who will be in long-term kol will be living very simply. They made a decision to learn Torah. If you appreciate that Torah is the spiritual energy of the world. Just today, I'll tell you personally, I sat down in Glencoe. Glencoe is, I see who knows. Glencoe is in the North Shore, very wealthy area, super wealthy area. And this person comes from a wealthy family and a very wealthy area. Probably about at least 35% to 40% of Glencoe is Jewish. It's like very wealthy, very Jewish. There are two massive Reformed temples there. And a little small Chabad, nothing else besides that. And then you have Highland Park, and you have Winnetka, Wilmette, those are the upper class neighborhoods where there are a lot of Jews. So this guy's a big guy in Federation. Actually, he told me, we've interacted on different occasions, I asked to meet with him. So we met in a coffee shop with lots of, and this wasn't a coffee shop, this was like, lots of wealthy Jews, in an upper scale type place. But he said, one condition, I can't ask for money. I said, no problem. I said, I always ask, but fine, but what I did want to talk to him about, he's in a power position, he's a philanthropist, he's very big in the Federation, about giving priority to Jewish education. The Federation in Chicago is massive. They have all kinds of things they give to. They do give to Jewish education, but not enough. And it's not the thing they highlight. So I had a large, long conversation for over an hour with him about if Jews do not have education, there will be no future. And he's telling me, he says to me that, we give to the Holocaust survivors, we give to Israel, we give for hospitals, for the poor, for the JCCs, for the camps, and all these wonderful things. And he said, what should we cut? I said, I'm not going through your budget for you right now. Those are all wonderful things. I'm not telling you they're not. But I will tell you that there will be no future for the people giving the money if they have no Jewish education. They will have no reason to give to you. And I said, just look at the world today. If they do not know why they're Jews, they will not be Jews in the next generation. Jews who are ignorant, Jews who do not know better, will not continue. So you can say these are all wonderful things, but they will not be there in 30 years ago because you kept Jews ignorant. Now that's any Jewish education. We, who are more connected, understand that beyond basic Jewish education, I tell a lot of stories of my own involvement and other kinds of people who didn't know basics of Judaism, who are very knowledgeable professors. I had a list of stories for this guy, and I just gave him a tip of the iceberg, what it means to be a Jew who knows nothing about their Judaism, and a very smart Jew, right? Very highly intelligent in every area of your life, well-educated, but you know nothing about Yiddishkeit, and what that means, what happens to you, your children, your family, your future. But for us, it's not just having basic Jewish education, even a day school, yeshiva education. There is a level above that. There's a level of Torah study, which is the biggest mitzvah in the world, which creates the future Gedolim Torah giants, the future Paiskim. And Torah in and of itself gives spiritual sustenance to the world. So if somebody's a serious Torah scholar, that's a very good investment. And the fact that they learn Torah is a benefit to the world. Unfortunately, there are many Jews that don't understand that or don't appreciate that. But that is the fact. Therefore, if you could support Torah scholars, That would be the priority if your family members are taken care of. The Iker Maisa, Niskin is Majra, the Majra, the main Maisa is Niskin, La'am Le'Tero, to the Amel Le'Tero. Tizel Lashon HaMedrash, Tanachuma, Parshas Re'e, Aser to Aser, Aser B'Shvel Tis Asher, you should give Tztaka, tithe, to become wealthy, as we discussed it last week, and Aser B'Shvel Shlo Tis Chaser, and give stock, she shouldn't lose out. Now, what do you mean not lose out? The Chatzchaim says if you become, if you get money back, a giver gets. What do you mean that you shouldn't lose? So he brings down the bottom in a footnote that the Gemara says that there are certain averus, certain sins that cause you to lose money. That are punishment so severe you could lose money. Well, if you give tzedakah, it will offset it. So you won't get into the net positive, but you won't go into the negative. That your the merit of being a giver and giving charity will offset the sin, the avera that would have caused a person to become impoverished. Remez lefarshei yamim. This is a remez, a hint, a Torah hint to those who go traveling and see hanasha oisim anashim oisim miskay. It wasn't like today. You can sit in your house and do Amazon, be a vendor for Amazon. The old days, you travel, you went onto the boat, you went on seas, you were peddling, meant to travel, far distances, dangerous places. Yafresh Echad, from one of these groups, there should be one of them, one-tenth of the people, should be only Torah, right? That's how we're a Torah nation, to go upside the gone of the 10th century. We are a Torah nation. We're not a Nobel Prize-winning nation, right? We're not a nation of Hollywood moguls or venture capitalists. Those are all... And except for Hollywood, those are fine, nothing wrong with them. But that's not the essence. That's what makes us unique. What makes the Jewish people is our connection to Talmud Torah. We need Jews to learn Torah. We need Jews to be great in Torah. You should find chayin. Right. You will empower Kohanim and Levium to learn Torah. It's actually today, it's a remarkable thing, that in a city like Lakewood today, there's a lot of wealth. And there's a lot more Torah study than ever before. Now, Israel is different, and the politics of Israel, I'm not going there right now, are super complex. I will say one thing, that whatever faults the Haredi world may have, and there are some, the bigger fault are those in Israel who don't appreciate that Israel is not a country without Torah. And the army is not an army, which we need an army. And the people who are giving their lives and their time and they're put in danger, they deserve, not only our respect, they're tzaddikim for that act is an act of pretending Jewish people is an act of tzidkus. But the army, certainly the Supreme Court, has no clue that all of our ultimate protection is only but for God, which means you can have the best Air Force. You can have the best Navy, the best troops, dedication and devotion. But without Hashem's bracha, like we saw on October 7th, Nebuch, there is no guarantees in life. The bracha comes from Hashem. And one of the things that even King David did is he had part of the people learning Torah, okay? Not everything is our own strength. So again, I don't want to go there because there's a lot of issues which are way out of context for this thing. But suffice to say, if you do not appreciate Torah study, you're missing the boat as far as Yiddishkeit is concerned. And therefore, a person who's giving charity, giving miser, there is a big priority to build the Jewish people with Torah, with koilos, with it supporting, and most people who do that are going to be very living simply and on the edge. Kitekif, the Talmud says, when you connect the Torah scholars, you bring bracha, you bring blessing. Ukeinian sha'amr b'chulin, as the Talmud says in Chulin as well, e'neisim atana kon am ha'aretz. Don't give it to a kohen his last name is kohen, but he does nothing of Torah. He's an ignoramus. La'seitz b'nas kohen levin l'man yechzik v'torah Hashem. Right, because the pasuk says you should give Kohanim and Levim. The Kohanim and Levim historically were knowledgeable people. They were Dayanim. They were great in Torah. They'd spend time in Torah. So the reason you give them Truma or Meiser, even these special gifts, is because they're learning Torah. If your last name is Cohen or Lewin or Lewinsky or I'm not going to say Levine, of course, but any of these other Levi or Katz, and you're not learning Torah or you're not getting the mitzvahs, that you're missing your job. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you can't do all, again, we usually diversify. Again, people should be asking questions, how, what, where. To give tzedakah, we're just learning the Chafetz Chaim. You should at least give a nice portion of your charity, of your tzedakah, to those involved in keeping Torah in the world. It kills me. Every time I'm around the university or the hospital, I see all these Jewish names, zoos, museums, I'm not saying there's no bad causes, but they're selling themselves and the Jewish people way short. So in that sense, they're bad causes. What are you wasting your money on orangutans, or on goldfish, whatever they have in the aquarium, sharks. But the point is, like, you can be building klaiyos, you can be the whole world, you can be bracha to the world. Vida, and especially the universities, what a waste of money. Vida de kasvu, the guy. For sad thing, federal money, and they're endowed to the gills most of these places. They waste, if you look at their budgets, what they spend their money on, my goodness, what are you wasting? People waste their money. And now they're hotbeds of insanity. Most of them, hotbeds of immorality and insanity, of no moral equilibrium at these universities. None. Not only the Israel-Palestinian stuff, they're anti-American. I mean, go through the list. I don't know if they're boys, if they're girls, of what values, what's right, what's wrong. Vida, the kasvu achrenim, the yachal achrenim bring down that if you want to use your maestro money to help a young bride and groom to get married, if they can't afford to get married, or a person can't afford a bris. Now today it sounds like can't afford a bris, but the poverty in Lithuania, in Poland, and other places was great. O lichtoiv behan svarim, o lahash ilam laacherim, or this is actually Chaim, we would not allow this today. But again, in Poland, in Lithuania, in Russia, 130 years ago, we can't even imagine the poverty. The people had one set of clothes. They didn't have jobs. These people were starving. I mean, the Jews were blocked from most professions and trades. We were put in only the Pale of Settlement, under the Tsars. We were blocked. There was all kinds of anti-Semitic decrees, besides the anti-Semitism. So, as we well know, after 1881, mass amounts of Jews started coming to America. Right? 4 million Russian and Romanian Jews will come between 1881 and 1917, approximately, for World War I. Many of them were purely coming for economic reasons. They were coming to the Golden Medina, the place of opportunity. There were many others who did not call, because they called America the Treva Medina, because there was no Jewish education, and therefore many of these immigrants' children were lost over time. So in Poland, in Lithuania, they couldn't afford Sfarim. So one of the aids was, Chafetz Chaim saying right now, use your Meister money, use your charity money, buy Sfarim, and write that this sefer, this book, was bought with charity money, that it's, you don't keep it. And in the meantime, anyone who wants to use it could use it as well. It belongs to you in theory. You're the holder of it, and when you pass away, it will go to the Beis Medrash, to the Beis Knesset, to the Shul, to the Yeshiva. Those who didn't like it then, and certainly today, we would not be appropriate. And in general, this whole discussion brings down Zamaril and Ramah, who really feel you shouldn't do these things. It should really go to the poor, not to this. Okay. Vinira deim hu ayedei shuba bris yesh toiv la'avi ben shemata yata el ve'en ligot soyis. Again, but the Chafetz Chaim is comfortable saying the writing, buying books for yourself to use and putting some Meister money, which you don't get to keep, and you let other people use it, that's a little bit controversial. But certainly he says, and he's coming out, even though there would be perhaps some against, to use money to help people make weddings, or brisim, or that type of things, you should not be machmer, there's a gufa, kmod stock up, And he says, even the books, Velikness Aliyas, what about buying Aliyah on the shul with Meiser money? If the Meiser would go to the Aniyim, also, you would not be so machmer. If you're getting a benefit, if you buy an aliyah, so then there are those who question this. Otherwise, again, ask the question. This is a big question here. Tuition, private school, Jewish education costs geld. So I'm not talking about donating to yeshivas, which you use your meiser money for, but what about paying for it? People have 30, 40, 50. More tuition, $70,000 tuition, people, lots of kids, high school, elementary, could you use Meister money for that? He says that's usher, because you're obligated to teach your children. Okay, to use it for your own children is usher. Again, there are those leaning that the general socket is usher, but you know, one should speak to a rabbi if it's a question. Does that have a matzah, you're obligated to teach your children? The fact that you send the children to a school, a yeshiva, is because you're delegating your obligation. Every parent, you bring a child in this world, is obligated to teach his child Torah. We know, by the way, I'm a little bit hot about this today because I met this guy. I spoke to him about an hour about this. I didn't tell him this, but the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Talmud, the first words every Yiddish kid, the first words every Jewish child should learn is Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Marasha, Kilasachov. Hey, the Torah is what Moshe taught us, commanded us, in the name of Hashem. It is the inheritance of all of the Jewish people. That is which every, those should be the first words of every Jewish child. Okay? A parent, you bring a child into the world, it's not to eat bananas and yogurt. Okay? And then we get older to have cappuccinos with a computer in front of them. It's to live Torah and mitzvahs. A lot of, by the way, this morning in Glencoe, lots of people with computers and cappuccinos. So I just thought I'd mention that. And they're Jews. And these guys know nothing. Or ladies, they knew nothing. I'm looking around, crying. My whole neshama was crying for them. They know nothing about Yiddishkeit. Nothing. Successful, good people. Lots of potential. Know nothing. So if you bring a child to this world, you got to teach a child. The Meister who hanoyeg, but stuck with me the benis. The Meister is me the sabenis. Meister is the middle ground. About rights, you want to be a big tzaddik like the Vilna Gaon. Tzarek lahafresh mechasef is 1/5, 20%. Fast mechu chazal, it says kosher titili aser. It's a double language. It's two times aser for a chomish. And this too, the first 10%. He says that if you do this to Chavetz Chaim, there are people that do this. Certainly, a praiseworthy thing. One should ask a question. Should they consider this? They obviously have to be able to afford it as well. But if in that, give 10% to the those learning Torah, which is like the Meiser, and the other 10% you could give to other mitzvahs and good causes. But if you know that there are poor people, let's say you're in a city where people are starving, they're dying, which is what happened in Poland, Lithuania, Russia, there's no food, there's no social net, okay, and let's imagine your last name is Moses Montefiore, or Montefiore, and you're living there, and you're watching people die. I can't get more than 1/5, sorry, let the people starve in the street. You have a palace. Now, Moses Montefiore, I pick him because he was a very righteous Jew. He gave a lot of tzedakah and appreciated it. Actually, tell you a story. This week, I have to still raise for the school. I still have $500,000 to get to do by June 30th. Now, at $500,000, I have $20 million. It's still a lot of money, okay? And it means we went through tuitions and we went through our campaigns already. And if we don't have budget, there's going to be, that means something's going to happen. This is a big operation, right? So this week I made some calls, emails to people who didn't donate anything, who could, okay? So one of the first ones I did is donate. A guy said, you know, so-and-so, you know, this is your kid's school. You know, usually you donate, can you help us out? And he said, oh yeah, of course, I'm very happy to. And he said, I'll, you know, we can both do this, whatever. And then he emails back, I'm getting the better half of the deal. Like, he's happy to give to his kid's school. He didn't give it for a grade, but now he's giving. He's getting the better half of the deal. That's how a person like Moses Montefiore feels. He's a giver. You want to help people. You're helping yourself. You're helping Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people up in eternity. And the girl also held, if you're in a situation where you could give and people really need you to give, then the sky is the limit. We'll discuss next time. It's not necessarily, there seems to be a decree not give more than a fifth, ever, because it's called Tekanas Usha. Because if you do that, then you can impoverish yourself. And the Torah does not want us to impoverish ourselves. As much as you want to be givers, you know, you're chayach ha-koyim. If you're in a desert and you have one cup of water, you don't give it to a stranger. You drink the cup, okay? If you have one cup of water and you will die of thirst, you drink the cup. Now, other times, actually, I'll mention it, since, again, I don't drink coffee, not at Starbucks, and then this other coffee place today, it's called Hometown Coffee in Glencoe. No one knows what it is. But because even though maybe once we lie, I don't do that. But there are people who you know, the CRC and other crash organizations, how you can drink coffee, black coffee, whatever, in these restaurants, or coffee stores. It's a famous story of Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz, they once brought him, the founder of Starbucks, to Nassim Zvi Finkel. And I remember this when this happened, it's maybe 20 years or so ago. And Nassim Zvi Finkel, for those who don't know, is a Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva, which I learned in that yeshiva over 25 years ago. And it's the largest yeshiva in the world. Second largest is Lakewood in New Jersey. Half of that yeshiva is approximately half is Americans and a little bit some of them from England, the rest are Israelis. So it's a huge yeshiva, very top yeshiva. And this Howard Schultz goes, he's really impressed. And then he meets Nassim Zvi Finkel. Nassim Zvi Finkel, Shiva the Mir Yeshiva, is from Chicago, of all places, originally. And he went to learn by his family, the other Finkels in Jerusalem, and never left. He left when like when he was 16 years old, married the Rosh Yeshiva, his second cousin's daughter, second cousin's daughter, and stayed there, became the Shiva, but he spoke a perfect English. And he said to Howard Schultz, tell me a lesson of the Holocaust. Like, what do we learn from? What could Jews learn? Howard Schultz said a few ideas, and then Nassim Zvi Finkel told him the following story. He said, in Auschwitz, in these camps, there were lots of stories about lots of inmates in the freezing cold winter having one blanket. And what they would have to do, and what they did do, is they would share the blanket. But the only way they all stayed warm is they shared the blanket. It's the even Jews have to look to share. If we're just covered, imagine you're in Auschwitz, Chas V'Shalom, we should never know such things. Imagine you have the blanket. Let's say it's your blanket, and 18 people next to you are freezing. Freezing! Freezing! You're not going to share the blanket? It's your blanket? It's my blanket? Why should I share the blanket? I found this blanket. I bought this blanket. I worked for this blanket. You let 18 other people freeze? He said, we look to share the blanket. Anyways, Howard Schultz went to write him a check. Like $1 million. Whatever. He says, no. More important to me, he wrote a check. Give the check. He said, write it for this $1,300. $1,300. Go buy tefillin. Don't buy tefillin. That's not the point of today's story for right now. But it's about sharing the blanket. And so we're talking about 10%, 20%, yidin. We shouldn't let other people freeze next to us. All kinds of people. That includes people who know no Torah. Right? There are Jews freezing to death from B'li Torah. They don't know any Torah. You can support Torah, support Kiruv, support Kolos, support schools, right? Yeshivas. You support people who are starving. Right, we share the blanket, and everyone has to know. Of course, we start with ourselves. If we're not healthy, if we can't have a mortgage, we're not going to function. Right, then we spread it to our family, our immediate family. We just saw that the priority is that the aniyim, that you know, the poor of you know, of your family come first, and then we spread it to the whole Jewish people, because we're all ultimately family, and the goal really is to look to share the blanket. Okay, we're going to hold here. Wishing everyone a very good night.